exercise, eating right, eating a balanced diet, and getting sleep, of course, and then doing stress management. It's very, very important that I emphasize that, though, because I've this person I was just talking about, it was very, very stressful for her. I mean, she's happy, she has grandkids, but it's very, very stressful. And I can see adding, like I said, adding to the fact you have obligations. Maybe your husband didn't take care of himself, so your husband, you're whatchamacallit, you have to take care of yourself. Shane, once again, thanks for joining me, guys. So we're going to talk about, because, you know, as requested, some of you wanted to go go over handling menopause as a woman, what's the best way? So when it comes to fitness, nutrition, and everything, so how do we handle that? So I figure I'll make we talk about it again. Just kind of have a refresher. But anyway, as you can see, vacation went well. Have a nice tan. But thanks for guys for joining me. Sorry about the hiatus last week. If you haven't been on a cruise, I highly recommend going on a cruise and enjoying it. Make sure you guys work hard, play hard. That's the one thing I learned from my mentor. Work hard, play hard. Actually, play harder if you can. Alrighty. So let's jump right into it. There's some other stuff I want to talk about too. Let's get to stuff about menopause. So, of course, most of us know, all of us know why women go through menopause. We'll start with from the beginning. Women, of course, have a cycle. You guys go through this cycle, go through these pains, and go through these certain monthly cycles because of you are giving the task of creating life. Okay, and at a certain point, usually in the 50s, you stop that ability to give life and you go through menopause. So dealing with the hot flashes, mood swings, night sweats, vaginal dryness, these different kind of stuff to let you know you're not producing or developing or creating any more eggs. All right, so that's something that everyone knows for the most part. Okay, now it's very actually I might talk about this. I've been posting a lot of stuff on TikTok, and TikTok's about to get, you know, I guess shut down soon or what have you. But I've been posting a lot of stuff about TikTok on TikTok, and someone made a comment about one of my videos, and it talked about, she said that it's nice to see a man talking about health issues when it comes to females, you know, because it's overlooked and certain stuff like that, what have you. But it's nice to hear. First and foremost, great, very nice to hear. But I kind of wonder, am I the only one that's actually on, I guess that's a male that's talking about this stuff? I mean, I guess I don't think I am, but you know, it's interesting to hear that when this person commented and say it's nice to see a man talk about this stuff. I mean, you guys go through this stuff to benefit us men, benefit, you know, because men usually say that, you know, I want an heir to my throne, or, you know, I want to continue my line, my lineage. That doesn't happen unless it's for women going through these different kind of things. So if you want to know, like, if you really want that to happen, you should know, you should understand women, you should, you know, respect what's happening each and every month so you can continue your lineage or whatever, but what have you. Anyway, so we know what it is, we know what menopause is, like we kind of discussed, kind of gave a brief breakdown of it. Now let's go over like this thing when it comes to exercise. Okay, so with mood swings and all these, so we'll go over it again. So night sweats, mood swings, hot flashes, and vaginal dryness. I don't think, I'm about to talk about exercise. Exercise can't necessarily help with that. I don't, you know, but it's Exercise could definitely help with reducing stress, circulation, circulation through your body. Actually, let me see, making sure that no one, because the only thing is with Zoom, if there's anybody that comes on, I can't, like, there's no indication, let me know. Actually, let me go to, okay, cool. All right, so like I was saying though, now when it comes to exercise, it could help with improving circulation, reducing stress, boosting mood, and releasing endorphins. Okay, because like I was saying before, it's the exercise can reduce stress and help overall with just being in a better mood, because usually women are going through the mood swings because of the change and the hormones is all over the place. And I think, I mean, not think, but like that's when teenage girls, they go through their initial phase, that's what usually happens too. Okay, so it's, that's what I'm saying. You guys go through so much with your hormones and everything, and this is like, I guess, like the last, not hurrah, hurrah is the wrong word, but the last time I guess is gonna happen. So either way, exercise can definitely help that. Like I said, with circulation, reducing stress, and boosting your mood, because of course, like endorphins help with depression and stuff like that. All right, so now resistance training, of course, will help with bones. Okay, helping with bones, helping women. Because I usually where women are usually having problem with calcium. That's why usually we have to women have to actually increase their vitamin and not vitamin. Well, vitamins true, yes, but calcium intake. So it's very, very important we do that. Okay, so. But before we get to that, before you do that, you have to actually stress your bones to actually build up on and make them stronger. So that's when resistance exercise comes into play. Okay. All right. So, and of course, we want to increase muscle mass. So I thought I heard something. Okay. But anyway, which will prevent muscle loss and bone loss. Okay, those are those two things that women really face towards the tail end of, as they get older. So muscle loss and bone loss. And what's the best thing for those, besides nutrition, we'll get to that in a minute, is exercise, resistant exercise. And that's the thing, I hope by the time this conversation or this talk is over, you understand the importance of not just, I'm not saying walks are bad. But not just going for walks, not just going doing cardio, those kind of things. It's important to really test your muscles. It was important before, don't get me wrong, when you're younger, but it's definitely as you get older, it's very, very imperative. Muscle is gonna be important, okay? Because you go through these changes, and like I said, with muscle loss and bone loss, it's very, very important. You stress your muscles, and which in turn stresses your bones, which in turn makes them both stronger. Okay, let's go also real quick. We'll talk about stress. I mean, with sleep. Okay, you're putting your body through a lot of a lot of exercise, like activity, hopefully. So that's when we have to make sure we're resting. Our muscles develop, our body changes, our body improves, and whatever else you want to say. When we sleep, it doesn't happen during activity. It happens when you're resting, when you're sleeping, getting your 7 to 8, 9 hours of sleep. So it's definitely, definitely important you do that. Okay. All right. So remember, you work out, you stress the muscle, you stress the bones in a good way, and then you go through, then you have your rest and your sleep. I'll go to nutrition in a little bit. We'll talk about that. Okay. In a little while. Anyway, so we'll talk about the different kind of exercises. So cycling, yes, it's cardio, but there's different kind of cycling, more aggressive cycling that you can do. Taking the hills, doing stuff like that, not like a like what's her face? God, watch that. Not Wendy. Is it Wendy? The lady, the Wicked Witch, Wicked Witch, Wicked Wicked Witch, Witch of the West or whatever. God, I forgot the name. But not, you're not strolling through the park or whatever. I'm thinking about, oh God, I think it's Wendy. I think that's her name. That's, you know, Little Wizard of Oz. But anyway, you're not just pedaling your bike or whatever. You're being aggressive. You're really putting your bones and your muscles to work when it comes to the cycling. Okay, then we also want to do swimming as well. That's definitely good for cardiovascular, but also good for your bones. Good for your muscles as well. Okay, good for flexibility. Definitely good for flexibility. And if you are gonna walk, let's say you are gonna walk. Okay, you prefer walking. Let's try to hold maybe some 2 pound weights, maybe a half a pound weight or whatever in your hands, and really try to go at it, not just a gingerly walk. Okay, like I said, the key is to stress your muscles, which will stress your bones, and actually will improve muscle loss and bone loss. Okay, so now when it comes to strength training as well, back to that, just also know that your body could be a great equipment to use. You could just do body weight stuff like squats, lunges, those kind of things, push-ups. If you could do pull-ups too, that'd be fantastic. But just understand, you can definitely use your own body as resistance. Plus, it's also, you don't have to go to gym. You can also use bands, band works, and all of these different kind of things. But the key is you have to be aggressive and really challenge your muscles to resist. You need resistance, long story short. Okay? Sorry. Okay? Lastly, before we go into nutrition, is you definitely want to make sure that you add flexibility to this. Like I said, swimming can actually add flexibility. It's more like an active thing, but it's best if you actually take time to actually stretch after your workouts or after whatever you do. Okay, to stretch your bones out. Your bones out. Stretch your bones out, but stretch your muscles out after, because your muscles are getting tighter and tighter, and you don't want to get them too tight till eventually that something bad happens. God forbid. Okay. And actually, before we go to nutrition now, definitely you want to do something. You want to be able to do something that's fun. So something that's going to last for a long period of time. And that's okay. So this week or this month, we're going to do one thing. We're going to do something for this month, and the next month we won't do anything at all. We want to make sure that we constantly do something, start something as you can, build like a lifestyle with, or, add to your life in a sense, like you could continuously do it. You don't want to have something you do like once or twice a week, or once or twice a month, and that's it. You know, you need consistency when it comes to whatever you plan on doing, any exercise or whatever the case may be. You have to be consistent with it. Okay, because consistency is key. Okay, you're trying to become rich. You can't just save for a couple days and that's it. No, you have to continuously do it. You can't really save and be rich, but you know what I'm trying to say. Okay. Are you ready to transform your health and wellness journey? At Kadapa Strength, I'm committed to helping you achieve your goals through my three pillars for results. First, I educate, equipping you with essential knowledge to understand your body and its needs. Then I execute a tailored plan, ensuring every step is personalized to your unique lifestyle. Finally, I encourage, providing accountability and support every step of the way. Get ready to unlock your full potential and thrive in every aspect of your life. Visit me today and let's embark on this journey together. Check me out at KadapaStrength.com. Now, let's talk about the nutrition side of things. Okay. I've said this many times before. Muscle isn't grown or created from carbs or fat. Muscle is grown from protein. All right. So let's go to the vegans real quick, the vegetarian. If you're on a vegetarian diet or a vegan diet, try to find either supplements. I'm not saying to go with supplements right away, but majority of time for you to get sufficient amount of protein, you're most likely gonna have to do some type of protein shake or supplement or what have you. But you have to figure out ways to get a substantial amount of protein. The rule of thumb is, for the most part, depending on how much you work out, your body weight in grams of protein is how much you need. Okay, you could be off maybe by 20 to 30 grams, but at most you want to get your body weight in protein. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you need roughly about 150 pounds 150 grams of protein a day. Okay, because remember, you're tearing your muscles down, and then you have to heal the muscles. Okay, but then you also want to make them stronger. So you want to have that protein to heal the muscles, and then also build up the muscles that you're trying to build up. Okay, alrighty. So that's that. That's number one. That's always number one when it comes to building muscles, protein. But what also too, we talked about the vegans, but then also the meat eaters, carnivores. Excuse me. Make sure you're also eating more on the leaner side, because especially women, as they get older, they have to worry about cholesterol issues, heart issues, or what have you. So kind of be more on the leaner side of your meats. Leaner beef, leaner chicken, anything, lamb, whatever it may be. Just be careful, make sure it's lean as possible. Okay, I mean also too, going back to vegans, remember tofu, beans, those kind of things would be definitely good. I forgot those mushrooms with high protein in it. But there's tons of things you can do when it comes to having protein, being on a vegan diet. Okay, going back to what we talked about too, the calcium and vitamin D for our bone health. Okay, like I said, women, as we get older, we tend to lack in that, causing brittle bones and so on and so forth. Okay, all right. And also too, remember, I mean, unless your doctor really says so, and plus sometimes, I'm not saying doctors don't know anything, I'm not saying that, but sometimes doctors don't know how to treat a patient that is active. So if you're an older person, let's say you're in your late 60s or whatever, but you're active, and your doctor is so used to dealing with older individuals, you know, maybe you should let them know and reiterate it, or maybe go to another doctor and say, hey, listen, I'm not a normal 60-year-old, 70-year-old woman. I work out 3 to 4 times a week. I strength train. I do all these kind of things. Okay, so be mindful of that when you recommend certain things for me. You know, so that's something to think about too. Okay, so calcium, getting your calcium, getting your vitamin D mainly, because we don't go outside as much. But maybe you're in your late 60s or 70s or whatever, you know, maybe you're going for more walks or something like that as you're older. Okay, but anyway, so that's that with the nutrition. But then also too, one more thing, when it comes to the other stuff, like the fats kind of talked about, carbs, don't be afraid of carbs. Remember, you need carbs, you need energy to function. You need energy to do anything, really. You need your carbs. I mean, if you're looking to use weight, I get that, yes, you know, monitor your carbs, but don't be afraid of carbs. Okay, fats, of course, make sure it's good fats, like the avocados, the fish oils, those kind of things, the fat you get from fish, omega-3s, those kind of things. Just be, don't run away from those things. Your body, just get a balance of it when it comes to those fats and those carbs. Okay, nutrient dense foods. Okay, overall. Okay, but like I said though, the main thing that's going to be important for you is protein. You want to build that muscle up or what have you. And then second is fats. Make sure you're having good fats. And then you can consider carbs. That's usually when I make my recommendation when it comes to nutrition coaching. Is usually I focus on the protein, focus on the fats, kind of figure out what that is. And then finally, the carbs. Okay, depending on what they want to chew, they want more energy because they want to get stronger. They want to get, want to drop down in body fat, those kind of things. All right. The carbs, I usually go see adjust it with the carbs. All right, let's see. Okay, now we talked about this before, you know, with exercise and stress. Sometimes, at least for me personally, exercise does not necessarily help with my stress. What helps with my stress, believe it or not, is actually for me is cooking. So you have to, just in case. I know someone actually, she's an older woman, and because of her obligations as a grandmother, you know, we wanted to be a grandmother for a long time, finally got it, but now, you know, and I say she dreads it, but you know, she's always being called upon every day, pretty much for the most part, to watch the grandkids, watch the grandkids, watch the grandkids, watch. So, and then you have your husband, if that, like, you have obligations for him or whatever. So it's best if you be mindful of that and realize if you're under stress or not. So make sure you do your self-care, okay? Like for me, like I said, for me, it's cooking. I'm trying to implement on a regular weekly basis. On Sundays, I try to cook if I can, if I have time, or if I have the energy to do it. But it calms me down. No one in the kitchen. It's me and the food. I'm cooking it. I'll let you know when it's done. Leave me alone, kind of thing. All right. So anyway, sorry. So you had to find what helps you. Like I said, exercise could be it. Doing boxing, might kickboxing, those kind of things. Letting your aggression out, that might be it. Or just, like I said, just working out. But you have to find what works best for you, and not try to ignore it, okay? Because it will take a toll on you, and it will have an adverse reaction, a counteract what you're trying to do. Let's just probably lose weight, try to get stronger, or whatever. You're up all night, you're not sleeping, you're not resting, getting that rest you need to develop get your muscles stronger or whatever. Because like I said, everything happens when you sleep. So if you're so stressed out that you cortisol is elevated or whatever, and you're not getting enough sleep, that's gonna be a problem. Okay. All right. So, and then also I want to touch about this again. Hormone replacement therapy. Now, in certain, everyone's different. In certain situations, people need to get it done. If you exhausted all avenues, whatever. You've been consistently working out, strength training, you're eating well, those kind of things, and you're not seeing the results you want, meaning the mood swings aren't backing away a little bit, or you're not under control, then it's probably best if we kind of maybe go to consider that hormone replacement therapy to help you get through it. Okay, but if you want to do all natural, I like all natural, if you want to call it, yeah. Pretty much it is. That's what a natural is. Trying to do exercise, eating right, eating a balanced diet, and getting sleep, of course, and then doing stress management. It's very, very important that I emphasize that, though, because I've this person I was just talking about, it was very, very stressful for her. I mean, she's happy, she has grandkids, but it's very, very stressful, and I can see adding to the fact you have obligations, maybe your husband didn't take care of himself, so your husband, you have to take care of him as well, you know. So it's a lot, you know, a lot. So anyway, so really in conclusion though, when it comes down to it, dealing with having menopause is sucks. And actually I wanted to look up in what situations that you can skip menopause, because I know personally, I know someone that had cancer. She was in her late, I think early 40s. No, I think it was her late 30s or something like that. But anyway, when she went through the chemo, she just skipped her, pretty much. I guess the best word is skip or missed her. She didn't have menopause at all, but I wanted to look that up. I didn't get a chance to look that up to see what other reasons, what other circumstances where you can quote unquote skip menopause and not having to deal with all that stuff. But yeah. Oh yeah, I totally forgot to say this. Back to hormone replacement therapy. There's a couple of things you should have to be careful of, okay? When it comes to that, okay, it carries risk. Okay, not gonna happen to everybody, but I just wanna make sure it's well known when it comes to this. Includes a high risk for breast cancer, blood clots, and stroke. Okay, so be careful, of course, that if you qualify for or you're given this treatment, it's most likely gonna dependent on your medical history or what have you, family history as well. Okay, so like I said though, it's really comes down to you being able to control those symptoms. When it comes down to it, you guys go through a lot through your life cycle, and begins with puberty, then it doesn't end until you're almost 50, or after when you're 50, or turn 50. So this is like the, I guess, the icing on the cake when it comes to being a woman, not in a good way, but like the final, I guess, thing. You have to go through menopause. But either way, just try to focus on those things. Lifestyle changes if you're not working out already. Okay. And the thing is, too, consider this. If you're working out already and you're still going through these issues, maybe look at your diet. If your diet is good, maybe look at your sleep. Maybe look at your stress level. So remember, there's four factors. If you feel like you're doing everything, you're working out or whatever, just check on four things. Be honest with yourself. Make sure you're doing the four things. Okay. You're working out good, you're eating good, okay? A balanced diet. Remember, when it comes to diet though, you don't want to be eating too little, okay, Shane? But if I eat more, I'm gonna gain weight. That's not the case. Majority of times, we're not eating enough. Like I said many times before, we as in a society, we see malnutrition as, stereotypically, the kids, the African kids with big stomachs and all because of the gas in their stomach or whatever. But in reality, we're malnutrition. We're malnourished as well because we're not eating enough or we're eating too little. I mean, we're eating too much or we're eating too little. Okay, so we're the same on the same boat, if you will. Alrighty, so. Be mindful of that. So if you're working out, you're eating a balanced diet. I'm not saying not to try to lose weight, but you're not consistently in a diet phase. Diet, I gotta lose weight, gotta lose weight. You want to create what you gonna call it? Like an environment, a healthy environment for your body to go through these processes. So like I said, exercise, diet. Are you sleeping your 7 to 8 hours? If not, maybe more. And are you handling your stress properly? All right. But most of the time, it really comes down to, those first three things, in my opinion, really. But I mean, depending on how stressful you are. But let's say all four, really. All right, because women, they go through more than they should. But anyway, so let's go through the next thing. Okay, if anyone had any questions about anything, let me check. Okay, nothing here. No comment here. So I make sure that I'm seeing everything. Okay, double check. Okay, here. Hey, Vishina. Yeah, so stretch before or after every workout. So realistically, okay, you stress for time, you press for time, I should say. The best thing you should actually do, let's say you're gonna do it's a leg day, or you're working more on lower body, or so on and so forth. What you should do is actually just squats. As I say, you're doing legs, just squat to warm up. Okay, don't stretch to warm up. Okay, or you want to go on the treadmill to warm up. Remember, you want to get the legs moving, get your blood flowing. That's what really warming up means. It doesn't mean to stretch before. If you're going to work out and I see you and you're starting to reach down, touch your toes and hold for 30 seconds, I'm gonna tell you to stop because you're resting or you're relaxing your muscles by doing that. You want to make sure you stretch your muscles out properly, so they're I mean, sorry, you want to make sure that you warm your muscles up properly, like if you warm up a car, you're not just going to just kind of go, I heard that now cars can actually just do that. You can just turn the car on and go for the most part, I think. I'm not sure. But you don't want to, this just for this example, let's say you're not trying to do that. You're not trying to just go start driving right away. You're trying to turn your car on, warm it up, 2 minutes or whatever, 5 minutes, I think it is, and then go. Okay, so you want to go on a treadmill, walk on a treadmill, You want to maybe, if you can, maybe do some light push-ups against the wall or off a bench or something. Something that's really easy. You can do 15 reps or something like that. Even those kind of, even doing that can actually be a good warm-up to do. Let me see what else. But then afterwards, that's when you do those stretches for 30 seconds and or up to maybe 45. Well, maybe a minute's fine. But as I remember, yes, so it's definitely important. Thanks for that question, Rashina. But it's very, very important that you warm up and then stretch after your workouts. Okay, especially as we get older, we're not, you know, limber and, you know, everything like we used to be. Okay, so let's make sure we warm up properly when it comes to exercises. Okay? Alrighty. Alright, so let's move on to some other things here. So I saw this article and it was very interesting. It's a mental health issues for new mothers. And what is it? I'm gonna find. What was it here? Sorry. Maybe my being Chrome. This it? Okay, yeah, I think it's here. Okay, nope. Here we go. Okay, so this is pretty much talks about postpartum. Okay, so this was very interesting. I found it very interesting. However, okay, so it's mental health issues that could affect new mothers. Now, the stats were interesting. I thought, I didn't even think anything of it, like know what number, what percentage, people that go through, women, I should say, that go through some type of mental disorder because of giving birth. So it says 10% of pregnant women and 13% of women who have given birth. So when you're pregnant, 10% of women. And the ones 10-13% of women that give birth experience a mental disorder, okay, according to the World Health Organization, okay, in developing countries. So let me turn this up so I can see better. So this first stage is called baby blues. You know, you're concerning about you having mood swings, certain stuff like that. These feelings occur in up to 80% of new mothers and occur approximately 3 to 5 days after delivery. Wow. Okay. Women whose blues, that's called baby blues, women whose blues do not resolve when hormones level out or in fact get worse with time may not realize they have progressed to postpartum depression. Okay, of course, the most serious thing, which can, you know, be treated with medication, which medical treatment. All right, so let's see factors. Okay, now this was very interesting to me. This is what it's 20% is high already, but any percentage high. So it's 20 in the postpartum depression is a fact. It is a factor in 20% of all maternal deaths. Okay, so. And I got to, we talked about last time the woman that that left her baby for like 11 days or whatever and just gave her food. I personally don't think that was postpartum. I think that was just a woman being very, very selfish. I mean, let me know what you guys think, but I just think that's because that's just really, really selfish of someone to actually do. But anyway, postpartum depression can cause sadness, anxiety, anger, irritability, difficulty sleeping, intrusive thoughts that may include thoughts of harming the baby. Okay, then it goes then to the, I guess, the most severe. Postpartum psychosis. In rare cases, women may experience postpartum psychosis, a condition that affects about 0.1% of new mothers. So that's pretty small, but still a lot if you ask me. But you know, it is what it is. It happens. Onset is quick and severe, usually within the first 2 to 3 weeks following childbirth. Wow. Symptoms include refusal to eat, inability to ease activity, frantic energy, extreme confusion, memory loss, incoherence, paranoia. Oh my God, preoccupation with trivial things. Jesus, hospitalization may be considered for a woman with postpartum psychosis until her condition stabilizes. Wow. Okay, so therapy medication can help women alleviate. So, I mean, this is what I'm talking about. It's like you guys go through a lot. You guys really, really go through a lot. Yeah, there's only four, you know, stages or whatever, if you want to call it stages. But I mean, hopefully, I mean, the chance of you go to postpartum psychosis is very rare. But that's still, that's kind of scary. But yeah, so yeah, I just feel I'd share that with you. We kind of reiterate the fact that, you know, you guys go through a lot to get, you know, to create life as your life goes on, like have experiencing your first periods, experiencing, you know, on a monthly cycles or whatever. Then finally you have menopause. I mean, God forbid if you actually have postpartum at all. Yeah, you guys go through a lot. Wow. Yeah. So anyway, any questions about anything at all? Let me see. So make sure there's nothing on Facebook. I got three things going. Three different software. I thought that's the reason why last week the thing went up, but Facebook is still working just perfectly fine. Everything, Zoom is working perfectly fine. Yeah, so that's good. Okay, but anyway, guys, I guess that's it for today. But definitely a good talk today. Let me see. So next week. Okay, so next week we're focusing on arms. Okay, from flab to fab. I'm trying to make it, you know, creative names or whatever. From flab to fab, transforming your arms with strength training. Okay, so that's the topic for next Monday. Like always, bring your questions, any questions you may need. Thank you. It was very informative and depressing. Yeah, I know. Maybe I should end on a higher note. Vacation was good. I mean, it's a higher note for me. I mean, but I think most of you guys went on vacation to yourselves. I mean, not a vacation, but maybe summer break. It's not summer break. No, spring break. Yeah, spring break. But then some of you guys had to be trapped with your kids. Had to do stuff with your kids if you're on spring break. But anyway, I mean, like I said, if you can, take your time to go on a cruise, go on different stops. It was very, very good. I mean, I'm scared of heights and scared of water. Not scared of water. I'm scared of not being a guy who can't swim. So it was both kind of terrifying. Oh, damn, I'm getting negative again. But I had fun. I did have fun. Something I will never soon forget. But I definitely recommend doing that and enjoying yourselves. All right, like I said, work hard, play hard. You guys deserve it. Don't deny yourself of enjoyment, okay, in life. Okay? But anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching. And you guys have a good day. All right? Take care.
Are you ready to transform your health and wellness journey? At Kadapa Strength, I'm committed to helping you achieve your goals through my three pillars for results. First, I educate, equipping you with essential knowledge to understand your body and its needs. Then I execute a tailored plan, ensuring every step is personalized to your unique lifestyle. Finally, I encourage, providing accountability and support every step of the way. Get ready to unlock your full potential and thrive in every aspect of your life. Visit me today and let's embark on this journey together.
Check me out at kadapastrength.com.